Welcome back to 2012 in the Church of Jesus. The following weekly report can be accessed at the Voice of the Martyrs website, persecution.com. You can actually have Voice of the Martyrs send this to your email every week. And if you will click on Pray on the main page, you'll see another series of current prayer requests that you can keep up with what's going on there. I'm Bob, and I'm an area representative for VOM. We're on day two of this particular report, February 10, Pakistan. We talked about Asia Bibi last time. There was another VOM-supported evangelist in the Afghan-Pakistan border region. Reports that he is being harassed by a local Muslim leader. He's also under attack by spiritual forces. After a recent Christmas service that was attended by a few Muslims, the evangelist received a letter warning him that his congregation was not respecting the Muslim call to prayer. Police have monitored the evangelist's activities, and the local mullah has told his audience that Christian activities must be stopped. The evangelist says that the region historically has been difficult for mission workers, that he is affected spiritually when he goes on prayer walks. Pray that God will grant supernatural strength to this brother and to his church. In Vietnam, this comes from February 3rd, within the next few weeks, Voice of the Martyrs will provide medical checkups and any necessary treatment to four recently released Christian prisoners. The four men, who had been serving sentences of 9 to 10 years each, were among 10,244 prisoners released in celebration of Vietnam's National Day on September 2, 2011. One prisoner who was not released was 65-year-old Nguyen Van Ly. This brother received an 8-year prison sentence in 2007, but was released in March 2010 on medical parole after suffering 3 strokes. 1 year later, the government insisted that he return to prison, and on July 25, 2011, he returned to complete the remaining 5 years. Brother Nguyen requires ongoing treatment for his health problems, which include a brain tumor and carotid atherosclerosis. Thank God for the release of the 4 Christians, and pray for their successful return to church and family life, and then pray, please, for this dear brother's release and health. In Colombia, also February 3rd, members of the leftist FARC guerrillas have prevented VOM evangelist Rolo from entering La Macarena region with items such as radios, Bibles, and Christian books, as violence in the area increases. Aside from closing churches, they're burning buses that try to come to the region. That's what a Voice of the Martyrs worker in the region said. There are other towns that have the same problem right now, our worker added. Please pray for believers in the region around La Macarena, that God will preserve their lives and give them courage. In Sudan, police beat and arrested a church leader in Khartoum recently. This is also dated February 3. Amid increasing harassment of Christians in Sudan, following the 2011 secession of the largely Christian South Sudan, evangelist James Cott of the Evangelical Church of Sudan was arrested January 17 on charges of using church property as his home. He was released on bail the same day. In a January 3rd letter to leaders of the Sudanese Presbyterian Evangelical Church, Sudan's Ministry of Guidance and Religious Endowments threatened to arrest all pastors who carry out evangelistic activities and fail to provide contact information for church leaders. About 350,000 people, most of them Christians, fled to South Sudan after its secession, and Christianity is now regarded as a foreign religion in Sudan. Pray for the few remaining believers in the north, the place called Sudan. I want to make a note there that the north is what is anti-Christian, as in North Korea, used to be North Vietnam, and so on. I don't know what it is about north, but the new country is called South Sudan, where Christians fled. There's not so much trouble there. This comes from South Sudan, February 10. I just said there's not much trouble there, but gunmen shot and killed a number of people in a South Sudan village last week, exposing Voice of the Martyr workers to potential danger. On January 17, a VOM worker reported that gunmen had killed a man named Godana, who had gone to fetch water for his family. Godana was the watchman at the compound for more than 20 years, the worker said. I knew him well. The town is small, and residents walk between shops and the market, making them vulnerable to attack. I'm very concerned about our staff and their families, the worker said. Pray for the safety of the VOM staff in the region and for other Christians during this dangerous period. In India, many people think there's not much to worry about in that nation. Not so. Hindu radicals, this is dated February 10, invaded a pastor's home on January 9, severely beating several of the 20 believers who had gathered at the home near Bangalore for a prayer service. At about 10:30 p.m., a group of Hindu nationalists rushed in with clubs and iron rods and began to beat the Christians. The attackers, who accused the Christians of forcibly converting Hindus to Christianity, disappeared after the attack. The pastor, 39, lost a finger on his left hand during the attack. A young man received a serious injury to his leg. A woman received head injuries and suffered nerve damage in her right hand. All those admitted to the hospital were released 2 days later. Police are searching for the attackers, but no arrests have been made. Pray that the faith of these believers will remain strong and that they will be obedient to God. Pray also for the pastor who oversees two churches that he founded in the area. Now, that pastor's name is very long, and I'm going to pronounce it incorrectly, but God will know what you're saying when you pray this name. It's Shanta Kumar. How's that? Shanta Kumar, Pastor Shanta Kumar, in Hindu-dominated India. Oh, God bless our brothers and sisters in India. All right, and then in Laos, seven Christian leaders who were arrested during a Christmas service nearly a month ago in Bukhan Village, Laos, were unconditionally released on January 12. The village chief ordered authorities to raid the service. It was on December 16, 2011, and the seven leaders were held without charge until December 30th. Freedom of religion is guaranteed in the Lao Constitution, so authorities were unable to charge the pastors with violating a religion law. Instead, they were eventually charged with violating the village's customs and beliefs, known as hit, and they were fined the equivalent of $1,425, about 35 times the average monthly wage. International organizations pressured authorities to release the Christians, and they received their unconditional release 3 days after their families filed complaints against Bukhan Village authorities. We filed ours in heaven, they filed theirs in earth, but it came to the same. There was a release. Praise God for the release of these Christian leaders. Pray for them as they return to their families and their churches. In another article, I'm not sure how related this is, a pastor's wise words turned away the demands of a village leader in Laos recently. November 21, 2011, seven village officials demanded that a pastor and his church members sign documents promising they'd stop witnessing. The church members refused to sign, explaining that to do so would be a betrayal of God's teachings. I wonder how many Americans feel that way, huh? The village head continued to pressure them, saying, Christians are not good people. They do not drink. They don't smoke. They don't participate in the important village occasions. They're not good people. The pastor finally agreed to sign the documents under the condition that he received copies that he could show to the Lao Communist Party officials, to the governor, and to the leaders of his church denomination. Well, the village leaders then immediately backed off of their demands. Our Voice of the Martyrs contact wrote, "The Christians in this village are poor and uneducated people, but the Holy Spirit puts the words in their hearts to say. Thank God for these faithful villagers and pray that they will remain strong in the face of harassment from local officials." We go to Azerbaijan. Under new amendments, this is February 10 date. That's when we get the report. These dates I'm giving are the report dates. They may have be reports of something that happened a little earlier. But there's new amendments to the Azerbaijan's criminal and administrative codes. According to that, anyone who distributes religious materials that haven't been through state censorship may be imprisoned for 2 to 5 years or fined the equivalent of 9 years' salary. President Ilham Aliyev signed the amendments into law on December 12, 2011, the latest in a series of increasingly restrictive legislative actions by the government. In July 2011, amendments introduced new controls on religious education, among other restrictions. In December 2010, fines for illegal religious activity under the administrative code were greatly increased. And in 2009, the religion law was twice amended to restrict rights and freedoms related to religion. Pray that President Aliyev will stop enacting laws that restrict the religious freedom of his people, and pray that believers in Azerbaijan will continue to be bold in sharing their faith. Hey, pray that Americans will do the same. Amen. Hey, we're keeping you in touch with what touches God's heart. Thank you for joining with me today in concern and prayer for the persecuted church. We hope to return soon and report more so again we can keep you in touch with what touches God's heart. Be sure to check out the rest of this series and my other series on Sermon Audio. God bless you today. Bye-bye.